Hello and welcome to this discussion on investment strategies behind low-risk investment products and why they are important as part of a holistic investment portfolio sponsored by PSG Wealth. Now, in a portfolio management context, cash allocations typically held either to manage volatility or to access liquidity to utilize as market opportunities present themselves. In a wealth management context, cash provides for income requirements or emergency funds. It can also create valuable breathing space for growth assets. But what are some of the risks in fixed income markets, and what should investors keep in mind when choosing a low-risk investment product? My name is Bdia Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And as always, I'm joined by someone who's very knowledgeable from PSG. Today, we are happy to be joined by the Chief Investment Officer, that is Adrian Paz. Adrian, greetings to you today.
Hi, Madiwa. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Now, I'm about to ask you what sounds like a nebulous type of question. The normal everyday person would probably shake their head listening to this, but within the context of investing specifically, right, what is the purpose of cash?
Yeah, I think you touched on it in the introduction quite nicely, but from a fund manager's perspective, in a unit trust portfolio example, it's a very important component to manage volatility in the portfolio. So it's a good counterbalance for other assets like equities, for example, that are more volatile. But in addition to that, as we've seen markets become more volatile over this period, the cash doesn't only just buffer out some of that volatility, but as market opportunities present themselves, the fund manager has some cash at his disposal to deploy into the markets. So I think it's a very valuable component there. It's very seldom that fund managers are completely fully invested. They always want to keep some cash available to utilize those opportunities. Maybe a bit closer to home for me, coming from a wealth management business, the way that we deploy cash in addition to what the asset managers do in our portfolios is also to provide for cash requirements, obviously, as our clients would need that for a monthly income or making a provision for a expense on the horizon, whether it be a holiday or education fees, etc. But the most important part of our cash strategy is actually how we utilize it to create some breathing space for our growth assets. So the way we tend to think about it is to have essentially two portfolios, where the one is focused on making provisions for your immediate and let's call it the cash requirements on the horizon. And then your second portfolio would really be the growth engine, the portfolio that makes sure that you can appreciate your portfolio value in real terms, net of inflation over time. The question that we often get is that, but doesn't a balanced portfolio do that for you anyway, having a good combination of growth assets and fixed income assets? But there's some investor psychology at work there, which I think is often overlooked. So once we've managed to segregate the cash component and created some peace of mind that the income requirements have been well looked after over the short term, and clients needn't worry about the volatility in markets and the ups and downs of politics and the currency and all that kind of stuff, and then there's a lot better discipline on the growth portfolio side, because immediately you anchor the client's expectations in the long term. So the discussion on short-term noise can be focused around the income portfolio side, which is relatively stable, which is what you want. And then the growth portfolio, looking at the long term, is shielded against, you know, some of the things that we've spoken about before, the bad behavior, you know, the kind of thing where clients panic and sell at the bottom of a cycle, for example, or they get overly ambitious at the top of a cycle and want to take more cash and invest it at the top of the cycle. So it creates a much better investor behavior discipline in that space.
You know, when it comes to what we're talking about, it really does sound like having some type of liquidity or cash on hand as a buffer is great, because I can just transplant the idea into normal life, you know, outside of the world of fund management, because a lot of the time it's the people that have maybe a good piece of cash on hand that can take advantage of particularly good deals. Maybe there's a car that you want and it happens to be at a good price, but you know, on auction, that requires you to take advantage of such a deal. You need to have the cash on hand immediately to take advantage of something like that. And I can imagine, you know, like what you're saying, when it comes to portfolio management and fund management specifically, cash provides that breathing room for a person also taking advantage of things like your income requirements and that type of thing, and also just easing some of the angst that a person might have in their mind when it comes to the psychology part, which is something that you and I have spoken about. So from that point of view then, Adrian, what does PSG actually offer in that space? You've given us an outline of why the cash is important, but when it comes to some of the products, you made the mention of the fact that some people would think that a balanced portfolio would fulfill some of these requirements, but as PSG, what are some of the offerings that people have at their disposal just so that their cash requirements can be taken care of?
Yeah, so the way that we look at it is to tie it in very closely to our advice process. So the advice process, the mechanics behind it, or the math and the actuarial work behind it, looks at the client's immediate liabilities or cash requirements over the next 3 years. And then it might be the case that they might require a monthly income for the next 12 months, for example. And after that, there's, let's call it, longer dated cash requirements. And it's actually quite an important distinction, because you can't just put, you know, the full 3 years worth of cash in a typical cash solution. We've been fortunate that cash rates have been high, but in a more normal interest rate environment, which is probably coming our way now as we look at interest rate declines, it's really important to optimize that side of the portfolio. So in our context, the growth engine, the growth portfolio is normally by far the bigger side of the portfolio, but nonetheless, you need to look at the income side as well. It shouldn't be overlooked as an important component. And the 12 months equation, we've looked at and asked if a money market is suitable, because typically clients don't like a fluctuating income. If they take a monthly annuity payment out of their living annuity, for example, they don't typically want that to move month on month. So something a little bit more stable in nature. And then at the, say, 24 months to 36 months side of things, you can look at an income type solution. So we've got an enhanced interest fund, which is a money market plus type of portfolio that enhances yield. And I'll tell you how we do that. And then we've got an income solution that has a wider spread of asset classes in the fixed income space to try and up the yield a little bit for clients without taking unnecessary risk. But these portfolios are largely custom built to that advice process that I mentioned. So if you were, for example, to say you've got an amount of money that you want to deploy into the market, into money market, to generate 12 annuity income payments for each of the next 12 months, essentially what you could do is go to a bank, get a 30-day deposit, a 60-day deposit for the second month, a 90-day deposit for the third month, and so on and so forth, until you have 12 notes that all mature at the end of each month. And that's really a fairly well-yielding portfolio. And the duration of that portfolio, if you were to calculate in, on average, what is the term to maturity for each of those notes, would come to roughly 200 days. So our stance was, why do people in the industry continue to put all of that into a conventional money market fund where that duration is limited to 90 days on average? It means that it's overly conservative, and there's room to increase the yield by extending the duration without increasing the risk, because you're still going to get to all the requirements of the client, and it's still going to be relatively stable. The question is really, if you've got on average, income requirement in 3 months' time, why are you investing then in a 30-day NCD? You should invest in a 90-day NCD. So it's a similar concept. So we've set up our own custom mandate for a client that wants a portfolio focused on 12 months. We've set the duration at 200 days and handed the money to underlying managers that operate in the money market industry, some of the bigger managers in the industry, and given them this 200-day allowance to try and enhance the yield for us. And secondly, what we did is we asked them to stick to investment-grade instruments only to enhance the quality of the instruments in their portfolio. So people don't often know this, But if you look at a conventional money market fund, we've had historically had cases where there are non-investment grade instruments being utilized in those portfolios. And that's what we wanted to steer away from. So just by understanding the client need and interaction with their cash flow a bit better, we could get to a situation where we could enhance the yield and reduce the risk. So it's a good way of explaining how we look at the advice process and the vehicle that's supposed to execute on that advice in the investment management side, and how you can, by better collaboration, get to a better outcome for the client.
Now, Adrian, given everything that you've just spoken to us, it does sound like there's quite a number of different products that are available to people depending on their requirements. And does someone want the ability to have an income? Does someone just want the flexibility in their portfolio? When it comes specifically to fixed income markets, because that's one of the areas where people can deploy their money, what are the risks in this context, in this discussion around cash that we're having? What are the risks in the fixed income markets?
Yeah, I think maybe the context also is important. So what we've seen over the last few years is that obviously the domestic share market hasn't performed all that well. And at the same time, we've had various economic struggles. So the two areas of the market that really benefited from that would be the offshore investments, because more and more people are trying to take money abroad. And the other part of it is that with interest rates so high and various yields so high, and equity markets not performing, we've seen clients de-risk their portfolios into more conservative areas like the fixed income side, not necessarily knowing what all the risks are. And that's a concern, because obviously that part of the client's portfolio should be the sleep easy component, if you want to call it that. And I think in part, what we try to do is to obviously, in our portfolios, we use a multi-manager strategy by diversifying across managers. And then in addition to that, obviously you need sufficient diversification across securities. So for a client at a bank, for example, I would say, you know, think about counterparty risk. That's something that you need to consider. I think banks are generally deemed quite well capitalized and safe. But at the same time, it's just good portfolio management to make sure that you've got some diversification across various entities, just to ensure that there isn't something bad that happens there. But I think also, I mean, obviously as the market itself has become far more competitive to sort of attract assets into portfolios, managers have also been pressed to really chase yields to an extent, really ensure that they optimize the yield as much as possible to attract as much capital as possible. And that's all fine and well that the industry is competitive in that way. But obviously, it does open the door to more risky behavior or taking on excessive risk in certain areas. And it is a complex area of the market. I think it's often misunderstood from how much risk there could be in a portfolio that clients are potentially utilizing. On the surface assessment of looking at the yields and expenses, which is typically what most investors do, is really inadequate for what you need to do. You need to think about the counterparties in the portfolio. You need to look at the liquidity in the portfolio. Where's the portfolio exposed? Is it in good quality credit or debt, or is it in risky or overly risky credit notes, etc.? And I mean, even in that component, there might be a good reason for utilizing that in moderation, but there might be excessive usage of that in a portfolio, which introduces other risks that might not be well understood by clients. So that for me would be important. And maybe lastly, reinvestment risk at this stage is also quite important. So, you know, choosing funds purely based on yield at this point in time, we should also acknowledge that these portfolios have maturing instruments, and as they mature, they need to reinvest. And what is the manager's ability to access new instruments that continue to generate good risk-adjusted returns for clients? Or do they have limited access and ability to keep rotating instruments, et cetera? So it's more about the quality and sustainability of the rate that you're earning that becomes important.
All right. So, you know, just making sure that whatever products are there are getting the rate, like what you're talking about, those are just some of the risks that are involved when a person is investing in the fixed income markets. I think Adrian just highlighting the fact that it's not as simple as you would think it is. There's a little bit of complexity that you need to be working through from a capital allocation point of view. So what should investors then keep in mind when choosing a low risk investment product like a cash solution? Because you'd think it is low risk and all that, but what are some of the things that people should be keeping in mind?
Our philosophy, whether we build a fixed income solution or offshore solution, multi-asset or equity, has always been the same, that we try to build a wholesome solution that considers both potential risk and potential return, and then next to that, value for money. And you can use that template quite effectively when you build a solution. I think in the fixed income space, I've mentioned some of the risks that would feature into that framework, specifically liquidity risks, counterparties, how good is the quality and how strong is the balance sheet of the people that ultimately what's happening is the client is handing his funds and savings to a fund manager who ultimately then lends it to other institutions in the hope of getting the capital back and a decent yield on top of that. So you need to have a firm grip on who the counterparties are and their ability to repay debts. But I think most importantly, it's more about not losing sight of what your financial planning goals are and knowing where your growth will come from. So as important as what it is to understand that your growth portfolios that's exposed to equities, et cetera, are there to generate the real growth in your portfolio. That's where you shouldn't be overly conservative. You should give it a longer investment horizon to do the best work for you. But obviously the counter side of that argument is then on the fixed income side, as important as what it is to make sure that you've optimized the yield, it's very important not to take excessive risk in that environment. That is the sleep easy component. The growth side of the portfolio is already there to generate the growth. Clients don't need to go out there and buy funds that are yielding, you know, ridiculous yields and exposed to things that aren't necessarily all that savory. So knowing where the growth will come from and what the financial planning goals are. But as I mentioned, it is complex to understand counterparties and liquidity risks and reinvestment risks, all the things that I've mentioned. And if you don't have the ability to understand those things properly, it's really worth your while to rather to either the wealth manager or asset manager that can give you indication of what the risks are and how they think about managing or mitigating those risks in the client's portfolio.
So when it comes to addressing all of those issues then, Adrian, we spoke earlier on about some of the different offerings that you guys have as PSG. You've led us through some of the risks that are involved and also things that people should keep in mind when choosing a low-risk investment product. For PSG's offerings, right, how does, I guess, the structure or what you guys offer actually help your clients?
Well, I think a lot of what we do revolves around managing client behavior. And I think by splitting it out and thinking about income and growth in two separate areas is very good for the behavior, as I mentioned before. I think knowing that we go through a stringent due diligence process to put our solutions together, whether it's determining the mandate, designing a custom mandate that suits our investment process better. We do a lot of work with our wealth managers to truly understand what the client needs are and how they think about financial planning in their various practices around the country to really ensure that there's very good alignment. And I think that's sometimes really a key strength because there's many businesses that issue products in this space, but typically they're not necessarily that close to what the individual client's needs are. If you think about a bank, for example, if you buy a X notice deposit through a bank, through your app or online, that's largely done automatically, but there's no evidence to show that you've really optimized what you need with what you are buying. And where if you use someone like a wealth manager, then that obviously that process is exactly what we're trying to do from a wealth management perspective. So I think there's a lot of strength in that and a lot of additional value that can be added.
All right. So that's where we end off for today. Just a great discussion around the purpose of cash, where cash fits in a portfolio. One of the biggest distinctions that Adrian has made through the discussion, especially at the beginning, was around the fact that at PSG, they've decided that they're going to split people's portfolios between income and growth, just so that they can help to curb some of the behavior risk that comes with the investment process. It's a conversation that we've had, you know, time and time again here with Adrian, and he's saying that's one of the ways that they protect their client in that space. Also, just talking about the purpose of cash, especially given the fact that a lot of the time people need liquidity. Sometimes we will need or require an income from their portfolios, whereas in certain cases, you do need something that stays in the market for the long term. So having that flexibility in place certainly helps. Also talking about the fixed income markets, because that's, you know, one of the spaces that people can throw their money as a way to get that return or as a way to have that cash on hand. And Adrian just leading us through some of the things that people need to be thinking about in the fixed income market. He mentioned a number of issues such as liquidity challenges, reinvestment, all of this stuff, balance sheets that people do need to be thinking about. So that's where we end off. We have been in conversation about investment strategies behind low-risk investment products and why they are important as part of a holistic investment portfolio sponsored by PSG Wealth. And thank you so much to Adrian Pascoe, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth, for leading us through this discussion. Adrian, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Madiba, and thank you for everybody that took time to listen.
So that's where we end off. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza, Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.